Well, if you're familiar with any kind of construction project, you'll know how easy it is for timelines to slip. Some of you have sent in some great examples, which I appreciate. There's things like IKEA furniture construction, timeline slip. Examples like being an owner builder of a house, you're much more brave than I. Some people find that their construction projects in Minecraft take longer than expected, especially when dinner time is approaching. And I particularly like the one about the Ninja Turtle origami set, which took a lot longer than expected due to the lack of child assistance, but it was cowabunga worth it. Thank you for your examples. It's incredibly easy for projects to run into trouble and lose their momentum, sometimes come to a complete stop. I found a few high-profile examples from around the world. One of them is the Sydney Opera House. In 1959, construction began with great gusto. They expected to have it finished by 1963, but then reality set in. The land they were building on was not as solid as they thought. Engineers couldn't figure out how to make the distinctive roof actually stand up. There was a change of government in New South Wales, and the new government fell out with the architect and he quit and left the country. In the end, the Opera House opened in 1973, 10 years after the original estimate. The final cost was $102 million, a fair bit more than the original estimate of $7 million. Now, a 10-year overrun might seem like a lot, but in New York City, construction of the Second Avenue subway began back in 1972, and its first phase eventually opened in 2017. But that still pales in comparison to the Sagrada Familia Cathedral in Barcelona. Work began there in 1882. It was interrupted a bit by civil war and that kind of thing. In 2010, they decided they were halfway done. They estimated that work would be complete in 2026. But they recently announced that that deadline has slipped due to COVID. Now, the book of Haggai that we're looking at today and next Sunday comes from a time in biblical history when a large construction project was underway. It was the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Previously, God's ancient people, the nation of Israel, had been conquered by the Empire of Babylon. They'd been sent into exile, and in 586 BC, their beautiful temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. But in 539 BC, the Babylonians themselves were conquered by the Persians. And in 538 BC, the Persian king Cyrus declared that some of the Israelites were now free to go back to Jerusalem and start rebuilding the temple of their God. So a bunch of Israelites returned to Jerusalem, and in 537 BC, rebuilding work began. But of course, this was a big construction project. And big construction projects always have delays. Early on in the piece, opposition arose from Israel's enemies who were still living around Jerusalem. And so after the foundation had been laid, construction stopped. And it stayed stopped for 17 years. In the meantime, the Persian king Cyrus died and was replaced by King Cambyses and then King Darius. And that's the point where the prophet Haggai appears on the scene. This book is set in the second year of the reign of King Darius, the year that we call 520 BC. And from today's reading in Haggai, we're going to consider two dangers for God's people as they engage in God's work. We're going to look at what Haggai had to say about those dangers for the Israelites back then, but also how we might face those dangers and respond to them as God's people today. Now, as I mentioned, work on the temple had originally stopped because of opposition. Israel's enemies had been round the place. They'd picked up their weapons and said, "Don't you build that temple." But it doesn't seem like that actually kept up that level of opposition constantly for 17 years. It seems like God's people had just lost momentum. They'd faced this obstacle and then they put the whole project in the too hard basket, the do later pile. And so that's why God sends Haggai, his prophet, with a message for Israel. Please grab your Bible, open it up to Haggai 1, and let's read together from verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? Here we get an important insight into how the Israelites have responded to the opposition from enemies. When they've been obstructed from building the Lord's house, they haven't given up and gone back to Babylon. They've stayed in the land and said to themselves, well, looks like we can't build the Lord's house. We might as well get on with some home improvement while we're here, build our own houses. They'd taken the opposition as a sign that God didn't want temple reconstruction to get going just yet, a sign that they should sit back and wait until times were better. But then they kept on sitting back. They kept on waiting for 17 years. And the Lord's not having a bar of it. As we read on, it turns out the Lord has already been showing them that they were on the wrong track. Verse 5, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Then jump down to verse 9. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Now, way, way, way back, before Israel had entered this promised land the first time around, God had said to them, if you listen to me, then I will give you a good life in this land, with good rains and fertile soil and bumper harvests. But if you ignore my commands, there'll be drought, crop failures and hunger. He told them this ages and ages ago. This is how it would work. Now that they've given up on building his temple, those curses are happening. But the people seem to have not understood the meaning of it. And so in his kindness, the Lord sends a prophet to make it clear to them, to tell them again what they're meant to be doing. Look at verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains, bring down timber, and build my house, that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. And I think in this episode, what we can see is the danger of comfort. The Israelites are not criticized for building houses for themselves. They had to live somewhere. And I don't think they're criticized for stopping work right when their enemies were right in their faces, making it impossible to continue. I think the problem is that when they stopped work on the Lord's house, they got distracted with their own comfort. The first day they thought, oh, we can't work on the Lord's house today. Might as well put roofs on our houses. The second day they thought, we can't work on the Lord's house today. We might as well put solid walls on our houses. But on the third day, they'd stopped thinking about the Lord's house at all. They just got into thinking about what kind of curtains they would like or whether to get a 2 or 3 seater couch. I think what happened is they got so occupied with their own comfort that they forgot all about the work that the Lord had given them to do. And it's not hard to see how this can be a danger for us, isn't it? As God's people in 2021. Our work is not building a building in Jerusalem to symbolize God's presence. Our work is building God's church. As we saw in 1 Peter a few weeks ago, in this age, it's the Christian community where God is present on earth by his Holy Spirit. The church is the new temple with Jesus as the cornerstone and all the members as living stones. Our work is building this church, making it bigger as people join it, making it stronger as people are taught and brought to maturity. And this gives God's pleasure and results in him being honoured. Now, over the last 12 weeks of lockdown, there have been obstacles to this work. We've been compelled to stay home most of the time. And that naturally leads us towards focusing on our own homes and our own comfort. I don't know about you, but I've noticed how much my mental world has shrunk. And my focus has narrowed down to my entertainment, my house, my garden. I've become a bit obsessive about fixing the bald patches on our lawn. And Vanessa thinks there's something psychological going on there. Now, enjoying houses and gardens and comfort and so on is perfectly legitimate. But if we end up focused on these things at the expense of God's work, then we have a serious issue. When our momentum in the Lord's work gets interrupted, which it has been over the last 12 weeks of lockdown, we need to watch out that comfort doesn't take over the whole agenda of our lives. Sometimes conditions are easier, sometimes conditions are harder, but we must not forget God's building project. Forgetting it is so serious that back then God sent a drought and commissioned a prophet to tell his people that change was needed. And the good news back then is that they listened. At the end of chapter 1, it says, "The Lord stirred up the hearts of the leaders and the people. They gathered materials and picked up tools, and within a couple of weeks, they were back at work building the temple of the Lord." But when we read on to chapter 2 of Haggai, we see a new danger coming along. Read with me from chapter 2, verse 1. "In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month," this is about 7 weeks after the first prophecy, "the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, 'Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing?'" It seems that as they got to work rebuilding the temple of the Lord, they realized what a momentous task this was. A handful of old people around them could just remember what the old temple had been like before the exile, before the Babylonians destroyed it. That old temple had been this amazing, opulent structure with perfectly carved stone on the outside, perfectly carved cedar panelling on the inside, an inner sanctuary where everything was covered in gold. When people came to visit Jerusalem, they would just stop and stare with their mouths open at the sheer magnificence of the thing. But now, here are Zerubbabel and his crew buying up what timber they can, doing their best to build some sort of structure to call a temple, and the old-timers think to themselves, "This is never going to be the same." Imagine if the opera house fell down, and we were trying to rebuild it, but the only material we could get hold of was plywood. That's the kind of scenario. And the Israelites were facing the danger of losing hope, of giving up in discouragement, of looking back to the past with nostalgia, but to the future with despair. And this also is a danger we can face as Western Christians in 2021. Some of us do look back to the past, the history of the church, with nostalgia. Look back to what we think were the glory days, when Sunday schools were full, churches were overflowing, when church leaders were the subject of community respect rather than widespread suspicion. It can be easy for some of us to have our main focus on the past. But here God calls his people to resist that danger and to press on towards the future. Verse 4, he says, "But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Now, this is not the first time the Lord has said to his people, I am with you. He said that repeatedly to Abraham and his offspring. He promised to make that unremarkable little family into a great nation. And that's a promise he kept. It's also not the first time God has said to his people, be strong. He said it repeatedly to Joshua and the Israelites when it was time to take possession of the promised land, a task that seemed unachievable. God promised that he would give them victory in battle, and that's a promise that he kept. When the Lord is with you, your human limitations are no barrier to his success. When God says, be strong, it's because he's about to unleash his mighty strength for your benefit. God calls his people to press on in his work, knowing that he's the God who brings glorious results out of very humble beginnings. And in verse 6, he paints a picture of where that will end up. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, so far, this temple they're working on is very unimpressive. But God promises that this temple will be filled with a greater glory than ever before. He paints this picture of all the nations of the earth streaming to Jerusalem, bringing all their silver and gold to adorn the temple of the Lord so that it outshines even Solomon's amazing construction. But as we look back, we ask, when did that happen? Now remember, Haggai was speaking in 520 BC, and he says, in a little while. And sure, a few years later, in 515 BC, they finished building the second temple. And it was a temple of sorts. To be honest, it left a fair bit to be desired. The first temple had gold everywhere. This temple, not much gold at this point. The first temple had the Ark of the Covenant at its center, containing the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments carved by God himself. This temple, no Ark to be found. The Ark seems to have been lost altogether when Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. The first temple, when it was finished, was filled with a thick smoke, cloud of smoke, demonstrating God's presence there. This temple, no cloud of the presence. There was unfinished business here. There was an unfilled gap in expectation. The Old Testament actually ends with a bunch of these unfulfilled expectations, a bunch of gaps waiting for Jesus to come and fill them. If we fast forward several centuries after Haggai, we find that in 19 BC, just before Jesus' birth, King Herod the Great launched a project to make the Jerusalem temple much bigger and better. By the time he was done, the second temple was twice as large as the first. But of course, what makes God's temple glorious is not just being a big building. The second temple never ended up with the Ark of the Covenant in it, never ended up with a cloud representing God's presence in it. But in John chapter 2, we read that this second temple eventually did have Jesus in it. Never mind a cloud representing God's presence with his people. Now we have a man who actually is, in very nature, God, standing in Jerusalem. Never mind the word of God written on stone tablets in a box. Now we have the word of God made flesh speaking to the people. And as Jesus stands in the temple, he says something funny. He says, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." And he has to have known that at first everyone would think he was talking about the building. But they realized later that the temple he'd spoken of was his body. Jesus' body is now the place where God is present on earth. And he was standing in the building that Haggai and his friends had begun all those years before. When Jesus' temple was destroyed as he died for our sins on the cross, and when he raised it up again in 3 days like he promised, conquering the power of death in his resurrection, through those things God did make peace as he promised. When Jesus took his throne in heaven, poured out his Holy Spirit to empower his disciples to spread the message far and wide, people from all different nations did bring their gold and silver to use in honouring the God of Israel, just as he'd announced through Haggai. Back in Haggai's time in 520 BC, the people building their little temple thought, this thing seems pathetic. They thought, clearly the glory days are behind us. But God was telling them the truth when he said the greatest glory lies not behind but ahead. And that was good reason to keep on building, keep on obeying, keep on trusting. And it's the same for us. For us too, the greatest glory lies ahead, not behind. As I mentioned before, the building project we're called to is building Christ's church. I mean, really, Jesus is building the church, but we are the labourers in this project. We have the privilege of being involved in the ongoing construction of God's spiritual temple, which is the Christian community. And like the workers in Haggai's time, you could be forgiven for thinking that today it doesn't look like very much. You could easily think the size is pretty small, the prospects are pretty modest. You could easily lose hope for the project of building Christ's church. In some ways, the church does look less glorious than it did a few generations ago. But God declares to us that the greatest glory lies ahead. When Jesus returns and God's glory fills the whole of creation, it's believers in Jesus who will rule the world with him. There is unimaginable glory to come. So don't look back. Look forward. And keep on building. Like those ancient Israelites, we are workers on God's construction project. And that's why we need to watch out for those same dangers that they faced. When I say dangers, it's not as if the project can get knocked off course. Jesus is building his church and he'll get it done no matter what. But we're called to be faithful workers in this project, to play our part. And we need to watch out for the dangers that stop us from doing our bit. Let's avoid the danger of comfort, where God's work gets put on hold and forgotten while we focus on ourselves. And let's avoid the danger of losing hope, where the past seems more glorious than the future. As Haggai urges us, let's be strong and work, because the Lord is with us to the end of the age. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you because you are building your church. You are gathering the multitude from every tribe and nation and tongue to gather around your throne, to worship you, to enjoy life eternal and to rule with you in the age to come. Please, Lord Jesus, make us faithful workers. Protect us from these dangers. Help us to press on and work, so that you may be pleased and that you may be honoured. Amen.